If one more person tells me it's going to remove friction, I'm going to cause some friction.
Yeah, it's not a lube.
It would be more useful. Hello. Welcome to the Techishly Jen podcast. We are smart tech for real life. Think of it as your girlfriend's guide to gadgets.
Here to help us, tech life columnist Jennifer Jolly.
Here to help me test them out, Jennifer Jolly.
Jen is the nationally syndicated tech life columnist for USA Today. You always blow our mind.
Jennifer Jolly, whose name is just fun to say.
Jennifer Jolly!
Welcome back to Techishly Jen. Oh, ho, ho. It is the most wonderful and tech-obsessed time of the year. We're about to unwrap the best and worst tech of 2025, debate which gadgets belong under the tree versus back in Santa's return pile. And we will hand out a few naughty and nice list awards to the biggest names in tech. Today, it's equal parts gadget gossip, holiday confession, and pure chaotic joy, all wrapped up with real recommendations for your last-minute shopping list and a few true confessions. Hi, producer Scott. How you doing?
Oh, I am jolly-tastic. We are getting close to what I call D-Day, which is when Santa comes, the gifts come out, and we're going to see some surprised faces on little children, or we're going to see horrified, what did you not get me?
And for anybody watching this, I am winning the ugly sweater. Scott is wearing a sweater that says, ask your mama if I'm real. Ask your mom if I'm real. Nice. He just flashed a little stomach for all you women out there, or men, whatever. It's all good. I have a Tipsy Elves. Both of our sweaters are from Tipsy Elves. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's amazing wardrobe. I am a fireplace with the stockings hung by the chimney with care. I think that today calls for a few wardrobe changes. We have such amazing, amazing outfits from Tipsy Elves and Shinesty. Shinesty's tuxedo Christmas themed suits made a few, cameo appearances in some of my big TV segments recently. Fabulous. You have to check that out at Jen Jolly on the socials, at the Jennifer Jolly's Techish YouTube site. Have I said all the things that I need to say? And now can we start gossiping?
Yes, let's go.
Okay. Let's go. The year in tech, 2025 recap. Okay. When I think back to the 10 bajillion gadgets that I touched this year and tested and talked about, a few things definitely stand out for me. One, again, you should be watching this episode because I'm showing you right now. Apple's AirPods Pro 3. They're not perfect, but they do a few things and have a few new features that are really, truly winning the gadgets this year. One is Apple's added that you can use Find My and you can make a little noise. You can ping to find when you lose a single AirPod. So I run around and I only wear one AirPod. I have one AirPod in pretty much at all times. I take that out, I put it down, and I walk away from it probably a dozen times a day. Find My pings that. It makes a little noise. I can find it. It's oftentimes in my own pocket. So you can find the case, you can find the individual AirPods. Freaking genius. Somebody needs to do this for our car keys. Well, you can use your AirTags on your car keys. Somebody needs to do it for my glasses. My last shred of sanity, but a huge big tech figuring out that all we need are like ways to find our missing stuff is a genius move. We need more of that. They also added it's not perfect, but that almost instant translation, not perfect, but shows you where it's going. The noise cancellation is the best, I think, in the business. Finally, the battery life lives up to the expectation. What doesn't work, they change the tip. They're a little bit too firm and they fall out of my wee little ears. Yes, I've tried all the different tips. Yes, they've talked me through how to spin them in my ears and make them fit. They don't. They fall out too easily. That part sucks, but it's pretty close to perfect. So that's a big win in the gadget world for me. What about you, Scott?
I love the fact that you said that you need them in your glasses because I don't lose anything, but glasses and my wallet. So if there could be like a wallet company that has Find My, that would be fantastic.
That exists. We'll get the name of that. Yeah, you can buy specific wallets with Find My embedded. You can also grab a little AirTag or one of the others, the Tile trackers, and put that in your wallet. I know, but
I'm a thin wallet guy. I'm not like a fold guy. I just like,
you're not like a fanny pack wearer.
Yeah, no, and I like to have my cards in there. I should probably actually just have my phone wallet.
Another big win in the gadget world this year is MIDI Health. It's not a gadget. It's a tech tool. But I first reviewed MIDI, I want to say like 3 years ago now. One of the earliest reviewers of it. It is a health company, online telehealth company for menopause, for women's health, specifically women in middle age and menopause. And I got to tell you, life changing. Everybody's been saying, man, you've lost a lot of weight. Are you doing the weight loss drugs? Like my own husband asked me if I was doing that. I got to tell you.
GLP-1?
Yeah, GLP-1s. I am not on the GLP-1s. I am on the hormones. And when I tell you how my world was before and how much better it is after, it is a freaking crime that women have not had this kind of healthcare, this kind of understanding. You know, everybody thinks menopause is some hot flashes and some. I mean, it is those things. Don't get me wrong, but it is brain fog, is chronic fatigue. It is muscle aches, back pain. I just couldn't believe how much my body was changing and how much I didn't look like me. So a very dear friend of mine, Amy Grove, turned me on to MIDI. I did a story. I interviewed the CEO. I have been on it every month since. And that's what happens. So you fill out some paperwork. They send you for some blood tests and you meet with a healthcare practitioner. It's either a doctor or a nurse practitioner. You meet with them once a month and they prescribed a little patch of estrogen that I slap on my body and a little pill of progesterone that I take. And then every month we check in and things change. And then they make recommendations. Like I was kind of getting headaches and my sleep was again. So they fixed that. So huge win to MIDI Health and all of the other healthcare or telehealth companies that are paying attention to women in ways that they really haven't before.
Very cool. Yes. My wife is also on MIDI and she has a lot of friends who are on MIDI and we just discovered it this year, but I think she would agree with everything that you're saying.
Yeah, it works in 50 states, takes insurance. So I would love to see more companies, less about bullshit AI and stupid shaped rockets to outer space, and more about solving real problems in our lives. And healthcare is quite possibly, I mean, that's top three biggest problem that we have in our lives. Please, more companies do what MIDI Health is doing. More people need to be like Mark Cuban with cost plus drugs and solving the biggest problems. That's what tech should do. That's what innovation should do. It should make our lives better and solve problems.
Which I think is a great segue into what is the tech that you were most disappointed about this year?
Okay, so what were the biggest failures of tech this year?
What were the biggest flops of 2025?
Well, I think that 2025 delivered no shortage of tech that made me stop and say, what the actual bleep? The Neo Home robot promised to be a metal butler, but turned out to be a $20,000 humanoid that folded a sweater in 2 minutes and was secretly controlled by a human in a VR headset. So we're about to go into CES, the most important consumer electronics show truly in the world. That's happening in first part of January. And there is no shortage of bullshit robots that we are going to see. We're getting pitched all kinds of humanoid robots. What do they do? Nothing truly useful yet. Now, that's not true across the board. There's some robots that can help in rubble, you know, in an earthquake, or sniffing dog robots, factory type robots. But when it comes to that Rosie, the robot from the Jetsons that'll fold our laundry and do things around our house, we just have not seen that kind of usefulness yet. So I keep telling PR people, what does it do? Why do I need this? And there's a long pause and then some like, It will remove friction. If one more person tells me it's going to remove friction, I might have to knock their teeth out. Not really. That's so violent and negative. I'm just going to roll my eyes and say, if you say remove friction one more time, I'm going to cause some friction.
Yeah, it's not a lube.
Be more useful. Hello.
But I will say...
Go ahead.
If you want to check out Neo, I would suggest hitting up Joanna Stern's The Wall Street Journal video, or check out Marques Brownlee's video. His was really interesting because it highlighted what this thing is not. And Joanna Stern's video was really interesting because it highlighted this robot actually in a home and doesn't even operate by itself, but the engineers were like standing behind it and like having, like, as they move, it moved. So like
really expensive puppet.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, ideas are great, but we're just being sold a beta bill of goods all the time.
That is such a good point. And, you know, I've been really disappointed with companies and CEOs and leaders in the tech space this year. Coinbase, another huge loser for me this year. So disappointed in Coinbase because they actually allowed people in to learn their system, figure out the perfect cyber crime, and then perpetuate it without so much as a warning to their users. So they are making money hand over fist on people, very bright people's trust. And they are losing that trust, and it's not impacting their bottom line. We need to care more about that moving forward. It's not okay. Not okay for the Coinbases of the world to steal your money. It's disgusting.
I would say my biggest disappointment for this year was definitely the top tech companies. Just from a parent standpoint, I just recently read a report that Meta, apparently, you know, they knew about all the issues with bullying and hurtfulness and self-harm. And at least from what the reports say, you know, Mark Zuckerberg turned a blind eye and he said, I don't care, keep going. Like, we're not gonna restrict age. We're gonna just keep pushing this thing forward, because at the end of the day, it comes down to the shareholders for all of these companies. It's not, you know, shareholders over people. So yeah, it's sad. I think
is that okay? Yeah.
As a parent,
listeners, is that okay? Is that okay that your kids are guinea pigs for people making bajillions of dollars? Is that okay for you? I completely agree. The amount of damage that's been done to a generation of our kids to make rich people richer is horrible. And I think that we all need to do something about that. In 2026, the world needs to age gate social media, and that includes YouTube, that's Instagram, TikTok, all of it needs to get age gated. When the level of engineers and psychologists and people who understand how the brain works, that level of knowledge and the deep, deep pockets and the money flowing in, it's dangerous. And there is no doubt in my mind about that, having been in this position for as long as I have. Speaking of the gross behavior of big tech, OpenAI Sora, the AI generated video. Do you know how many of those that I run across that have had the watermark taken off? And I've been fooled by them. Deep fakes, copyright chaos, a future where seeing is no longer believing. You guys, that's scary shit. And we need to care. Moving on now to the Gadget Gift Guide Showdown. What are the gadgets that you got, Scott, in 2025 that you kind of can't live without?
I personally really love analog devices. I think, you know, we talk about all this tech, but whether it's an Aura frame, absolutely love Aura frames. I give them
I literally
give them to everybody. We have an Aura frame in our living room, and the photo changes, and my kids get excited about it, and we talk about the photo, like, oh, remember that trip? Or so I love Aura frames. Another big thing my kids are super into right now are the landline is coming back. We will give our kids cell phones, but landlines, like, we have a couple of friends that have landlines. So my kids...
Tin can phone.
Yes, tin can phone. But I will say I'm a little mad at tin can because it's constantly sold out and it's impossible to get. So we actually bought...
Well, Santa might have one coming for under your tree.
I don't know, Santa. Santa, I think he's a little overworked.
Yeah. Well, I know Pinwheel, I don't know if I'm supposed to know this. I'll double check before we put this podcast out, but I know Pinwheel's coming out with a home phone as well early in 2026. I don't know if I'm supposed to know that. I don't know if you're supposed to know that. So we'll double check that before we put it out to the world. But I agree about analog gadgets. Retrospect, if you haven't heard of them, RETROSPECT. That's where I got this cool clock, like retro alarm clocks. One of the biggest, good, nice, awesome New Year's, New You things that you can do for your brain is get your smartphone out of your bedroom, use an old fashioned alarm clock. Now, the struggle for me is I have a daughter in college. I'm scared I'm going to miss an emergency call from her. You got to somehow come to peace with that because that fear is always there. Maybe go back to that home phone. That's a good idea. That ring will wake us up no matter what.
What's a product that you really, really liked this year?
There's a couple of them. I really like this HP Sprocket photo booth. It's a really cool, it has a ring light, you load the paper up and you get these cute little 3x5 prints. It's a very cool thing to have at a party. What I don't love is the price tag is just under $600. This needs to be a $300 product. So, because especially the photo paper that you need to print out on is expensive as well. So I think if that were a $300 gadget, that would be perfect. For sleep tracking, I really like the Oura Ring. I'm not big into biometric tracking. I never have been. I've only done it for stories. And I mostly use a wearable to tell the time. So I wish that it had a little LED time that, like I could touch it or something and it would just tell me what time it is. So that's a good gadget. This Zillion massager, back massager, foot massager, leg massager, butt massager, all the things massager. I have tested a million of these. They never are strong enough for me. They always feel like, somebody's just kind of annoying me. This one I actually lay down on. And I don't make the little gears stop working. It has heat. You can plug it into your car, use it in your car. This has been a genius gadget. But I have to say, like the hands down sort of runaway winner for me is this Anker 3-in-1 charger, because it's a charger that charges up my laptop, my smartphone, my tablet. It can do my Apple Watch, and it comes with a built-in USB-C cable. It's freaking genius.
It's so not sexy, but everything that Anker makes, I kind of like. Yeah. The way that they think about what the end user actually needs, it's like always built in. The batteries are insane. They make it portable. So yeah, no, big props to Anker.
Yeah, every product that you get that you spend your hard-earned money on should solve a problem. It shouldn't create more problems. It should solve problems. So huge takeaway. What does that gadget do for me? How does it solve a problem? And sometimes just making you happier is the problem that it solves.
Speaking of happy, I think a big hit for me this year was the Switch 2. Really like that device. My kids love it. I will say the battery, I wish it was a little bit better, but...
I wish it was a lot better for taking so long to come out with a 2, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's Nintendo Switch 2. What about the games? Like, how many games can you cart around on it at once?
That's a great question. We don't, as a family, have a lot of games. So right now, my kids are only playing Mario Kart, and we let them play Minecraft.
And how does that make you feel?
I like it.
How does that make you feel, Minecraft? Are you okay with that?
No, I mean, I can go on a tangent about... I mean, I like Minecraft way more than Roblox. I think Roblox is something that's created just for addiction. But Minecraft, they're actually being creative.
Yeah, Roblox scares me. I've worked with that company. You know, they've pitched me. We've talked about things that they're doing, security, levels of security. It's just not enough. How do you manage the time that your kids spend on that, on Nintendo Switch 2? Do you use the built-in parental features, or what do you do?
We actually don't. We don't let them on any devices during the week. And then on the weekend, we just limit it to an hour. So they can play for an hour, and then we encourage them to not have any electronics, and they go out and play or ride their bikes or go to the neighbors. And then usually, like, by the time they get back, and, you know, we allow like another hour. But yeah, I mean, we just don't want them sitting on these things.
They're 6 and 9 as of today. Happy birthday, Charlotte. They're 6 and 9. But how, you know, I hear from parents all the time that they're exhausted. They kind of use gadgets to get their own moment of peace during the day. Parents are on their gadgets as much, if not more, than kids. So how are you going to navigate that going forward? And why and how do you know how important this is?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's just about discipline and routine, right? We only let them on iPads during trips. It gets the kids excited during trips, and that's totally fine. But yeah, we don't let the devices be seen around the house, and that's how we
manage it. Where do you put them? Do you lock them up in a little kitchen safe? What do you do with them?
No, we just have a drawer and a dresser in our primary bedroom. That's where we keep the gadgets, and that's where they just sit and live. But for the Nintendo Switch 2, we just keep in our like TV room. We also really, really like the. It's not new to this year, but the Next Playground.
Love that device. It's gotten even better since it first came out.
Yeah. So
that gadget.
If you're not familiar with Next Playground, it's basically like an updated Nintendo Wii. So you actually don't need controllers. There's a camera that tracks your body motion, but all the games are about like being physical and jumping or dancing. My kids got it from Santa last year, and it's like the only present they've played with throughout the entire year. And my son, he gets so sweaty by the time like he's done, like his shirt's off. He's just like a sweaty mess. And my kids' friends come over, and I just hear them upstairs laughing and jumping around. I hear like, it sounds like the ceiling's going to cave in, but they're having a good time.
I think board was a very interesting gadget to me because it revitalizes an old-fashioned board game, but it puts that aspect of modern video games with it. And new technology that gathers the family back together is a trend I hope to see a lot more of in 2026. So there you have it, a little gadget gift guide showdown. Next up, the naughty and nice list.
Dum.
Scott, number one on my nice list. Well, of course, it's Andrew Yang because he is so nice. One of the only people in the tech adjacent space who still talks about humans like they're the point. He launched Noble Mobile and told us, I think we have the big exclusive. He told us that he is going to run for president again in no uncertain terms. When? I don't know. But, you know, while big tech chases attention and dominance, Andrew Yang keeps chasing people and doing right by humanity. That is important to me. From UBI to mental health to AI's impact on work and kids, Yang doesn't get distracted by shiny tools. He focuses on outcomes. So in a year that tech leaders optimized for growth at all cost, Yang optimized for no bull. I like that. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uphill battle for him to become president, but it is just a breath of fresh air to know that he has his head in the right place, and he is kind, and he kind of, you know, online, he's not afraid to look at both sides and have an opinion.
Yeah, we also talked about Nintendo, the Switch 2, big win of the year. One of the things that really stands out for me for them being on the nice list, in addition to that they just made a great gadget, they continue to ignore almost every terrible tech trend. And that's exactly why they make my nice list this year. No AI hype, no data harvesting, no attention traps, just games that work. They're fun. They bring you into the same room with people you care about, which is great. And in 2025, when so much tech kind of demands your constant attention, Nintendo quietly just delivers that joy, that connection, that nostalgia without asking for your soul or, the biggest thing, a subscription. I am so over subscriptions. I hate them so much. I want to kill them. And Scott, I was thinking we should start doing this segment called Mary Fund Kill, because, you know, that other word.
Yeah.
I would kill subscriptions. I would kill them dead. They would not be coming back. Subscriptions are the bane of our existence. You either make a gadget cost the amount it costs, and that's it, and the service costs that, and we all know what we're paying for. But yeah, subscriptions need to die.
Can I tell you what I would kill?
Yes.
I would kill just even the idea that apps could track me, like, beyond what they need to be doing. Apple did a great job at asking me, do I want this app to track? And I always say no.
You are so onto something there. Every app tracks you, and they say it's like, oh, to be more customized to you, to deliver more content that you want and need. But it does nothing but makes them richer. Turn off the tracking, and we will tell you exactly how to find out which apps are tracking you and how to turn that all off. That will be in the notes section of this episode. You mentioned Apple. Mary Fund Kill. I want to marry it. And I will tell you why they made my nice list this year. They're not trying to win the AI arms race with a new gadget that nobody asked for. They're not putting AI, you know, in places we never asked for it. They're focusing on practical protections, and it wasn't sexy, and it didn't win a lot of people's lists this year. There's a lot of Apple bashing going on, and I get it. I do. But they did better scam blocking, and they did it really well. They did stronger on-device privacy, pass keys, and security features that work without making you change your behavior. So Apple's AI, it's not loud, it's not shiny, it's not serving up weird videos. And that's why they're a win for me. Yeah, they still market aggressively. Yes, Tim Cook's been acquiescent in ways that we all wish he, including him, he wishes he weren't either. Yes, it deserves scrutiny, and they could do better. But in a year of chaos, Apple made tech less stressful instead of more hassle. And these kinds of things matter. You know, those are the things when you take a gadget and you solve all the problems with it, that matters more than half-baked hardware to market.
I like Apple.
Let's fight about it.
I got a new laptop this year. It has the M4 chip, and it is fast, and it's very, very nice. I will say, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I still get so many spam calls, but it at least tells me that they are spam calls. So I do like that. The one thing
that's the problem with your carrier as well. You have to hit that. You have to combat it from a carrier standpoint and your hardware standpoint.
Oh.
So I'm going to teach you how to do that. And then in doing that, it's going to teach everyone else. You have Mint Mobile, right?
I do have Mint Mobile.
That's your problem. You need to switch over to Noble Mobile, and that will cut down on your spam calls. It really, really will.
And then the only other thing about Apple, yes, Tim Cook, along with so many CEOs, just bending the knee to whatever the administration wants. Nobody has a backbone, and it's just very disappointing to see.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the biggest problems with that acquiescence to the administration is the removal of guardrails and protections. So it's rush to market. It's move fast and break things. And what's breaking is us. It's our trust. It's our privacy. It's our humanity. And those things should matter to you, because at the end of the day, that's all we have, right? Is each other and our humanity. And no amount of billionaires and oligarchs and all of the things will fix that for us.
All right. What about the naughty list? Who has been the naughtiest CEO or company?
I have three for my naughty list this year.
Well, we're just picking one.
The naughtiest of naughty. I can't pick one. I have to pick three. I'm going to pick three. I'm going to say my worst, the worst for me, the biggest kill for me, Mary Fun to Kill, biggest kill for me is Coinbase. Coinbase made it incredibly easy to buy crypto and heartbreakingly simple to lose it all. Scam victims told me the same story all year long. Convincing fake support calls, spoofed emails, drained accounts, and no meaningful help afterward. Coinbase talks a lot about innovation, but what people really want is basic protection. One warning, a clear warning, and someone to pick up the phone when their life savings disappeared. If your platform makes theft feel, my least favorite word of the whole entire year, frictionless, that's not innovation. Scott, that is downright negligence.
What are your other two naughty?
The Cybertruck, Tesla. Yes, still. I mean, the Cybertruck went from cultural icon to cautionary tale in record time. When you want to symbolize somebody as a total bag, you show them driving a Cybertruck. I mean, sales stalled, inventory piled up. Musk started selling them as fleet vehicles to his own companies. Tesla owners became collateral damage in Elon's political adventures, vandalism, backlash, and a brand suddenly carrying baggage instead of cool. Turns out that being anti-establishment is less fun when you're the establishment, Elon Musk. So when the CEO becomes the product usually suffers. That makes my naughty list. Tesla, Cybertrucks. I feel sorry for people who have them. I truly do. And I've seen so many funny takes on like, yeah, bought it before he became that guy. I just feel sorry for you. Sam Altman also makes my naughty list. And here's a guy I want to like. He's an amenable guy. He's a brilliant man. He spent 2025 telling the world that AI needs guardrails while simultaneously pulling them down. Hypocrisy, big on my naughty list this year. OpenAI leaned into military contracts. They have flirted with deeply sycophantic models and pushed AI tools that sometimes encourage delusion, dependency, or death. I mean, that's not okay. You got blood on your hands, Sam. And you are in the unusual, unique, and powerful position to do something about it. You need to. The responsibility keeps getting fuzzier. Altman, you know what? Dude, you didn't break the internet, but you did prove that trust us is not a business model. So you built the brain, but you forgot the spine.
Agreed. I think all three.
All right, Scott, big wins for us this year. We launched this podcast. Well done. Yeah. That's the most silent applause I've ever heard. We will dub in some real hooting and hollering for that. But okay. So let's talk about our own personal big wins this year. We launched a newsletter, techish.com. We have a newsletter. We launched this podcast. It is nationally syndicated and we have some amazing guests and advice. We are listening to you, readers, listeners, viewers of this podcast and of the newsletter. And we need a number three. What's our third big win of the year? I know what it is.
I think it's authenticity. The media landscape is completely changing. The way AI has taken over. I saw a stat that said more journalism is written by AI than real voices on the internet these days. And I think there is something to be said about how we are keeping honest, we are keeping true to ourselves, and we will not fall into the trap that so many other companies and ghostwriters are doing.
Yeah, somebody told me that they would do just about anything to be a fly on the wall in the conversations that I have with tech leaders, inventors, creators, and we are letting you do that. We're letting you be a fly on the wall of my life and my world, which is unique and unusual, and I forget about that. And I think that we approach tech journalism and tech coverage so differently than the rest of the world. We're not unboxing the shiniest new thing for you. We are seeing everything, getting pitched everything, and saying, this is what matters because it makes your life better. It makes things easier. It makes being a human being a little more pleasant on planet Earth. We're looking for connection. We're looking for meaning and power and passion and all the things that make us the best humans that we can be. So just know that you have somebody in your court. If you have questions, we have answers. If you have problems, we try to find the fix. Going ahead, we can't leave 2025 without really talking about AI. I mean, this is the year of AI everything. It's the year that AI stopped being optional and became unavoidable. And, you know, of course, we're talking ChatGPT, Gemini, Anthropics, Claude, and a few others. They have actually lived up to the hype when they quietly help people write, summarize, plan, brainstorm, and do all of that kind of faster and easier. That's the part of AI that works. What does not work? The idea that AI needs a new gadget, the pins, the pendants, the bracelets, the glasses. None of them replaced the phone. None have earned a permanent place in people's lives. Most are still awkward, always listening, always charging, super glitchy, and always asking for trust that they haven't even come close to earning yet. So the real winners, they're not flashy devices. They're invisible tools that save time and shut the up when they're done. So the big takeaway, the best AI of 2025, it doesn't demand attention. The worst won't stop asking for it. And we honestly cannot trust any of them. Oh, and by the way, AI hardware, it hasn't failed so far because of regulation. It fails because it's just not good enough. 2026 is the year that we protect our kids. It's the year that we demand more out of our gadgets. It's the year of driverless cars. Waymo going more mainstream outside of LA. What else happens in 2026? Rosie the robot? She doesn't exist yet. More p-shaped rockets to outer space? Nobody needs them. Okay, Scott. One of my biggest wins of 2025 is getting you on board. That is something that I am so thankful for. I cannot wait for 2026. That's one of the biggest wins. It has just been getting to know you and your family and work with you. We have a couple new additions to our team in 2026, and you guys are going to be unfreaking stoppable. Anything to add?
Yeah, you have no idea. It's been so exciting to be a part of the other side of things. We've also been able to create some amazing, videos. If you haven't, go to the Techish YouTube channel. We've been building that up. We've been covering some super interesting stories like flock safety. We did an amazing experiment where we shut off Jen's power and we just powered it with a GM power bank for 5 days. So
a truck, a GM truck, yeah. Power bank for 5 days.
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
It's been so much fun. Again, I can't.
We did the Great American Mow-Off.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Robot lawnmowers got really good this past year. Great, great save on that one, man. They're getting better for next year.
Yeah. I just think we finally got some traction with what we're doing, and I can't thank you enough. This is just the beginning. We've only really been pushing this for 6 months, but yeah, 2026 should be, even better.
Yeah. People need us. You want us, you need us. We're listening.
Time.
So, hey, thanks for spending some time with us, questioning the hype, calling out the nonsense, and finding the tech that actually makes life better. That is what we do here. I'm Jennifer Jolly, the Jen of Techishly Jen, here with producer Scott.
I will see you guys next time.
Yeah, we'll see you in the new year with clearer eyes, stronger boundaries, and way less tolerance for tech that does not earn our trust. Techish.com and the Techish YouTube channel. Merry, jolly everything, my friends. Jolly holiday. One more quick shout out to Tipsy Elves for the amazing ugly holiday sweaters and Shinesty for the amazing holiday suits. Thank you so much for dressing us. I'm pretty sure that Tipsy Elves dress me most of the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
What'd you think about today's episode of Techishly Gen? Be sure to let me know. follow our newsletter, reach out on the socials. Can't wait to see you right back here on the next installment of Techishly Gen.